Okay, boys, today's daf is daf Kif Chuf Ches. We're holding Kif Chuf Zayin on the base. Specifically, the Gemara is going back on the case of the Mishnah that we started on Kif Chuf Zayin Amid Aleph, with a continuation at the top of Kif Chuf Zayin Amid Beis. What was the Mishnah all about? About the behema that had an aver or basar hamiduldolim. The aver or the basar were hanging from the animal when the animal was still alive. So we said in the Mishnah that that aver or that basar does not have a din of nevela because it's still part of a living animal. However, it is considered to be almost detached in the respect that it has a locha that it's mekabel tumas oichler. Remember, we said yesterday that this is a very, very unusual thing where it's nishtahin and nishtaher. The situation with this aver and this basar hamiduldol is it's not 100% living aver and basar. On the other hand, it's not a dead aver and basar because it's still hanging even by a thread to the original animal. What is so unique about the halacha is that it has already a shem ochel, even though you cannot eat it, you're not allowed to eat it, but since it's detachable from the animal just by giving a small little tug, it's considered to be a din of ochel, so that if this piece of aver or basar first was mukshel lekabel tumah and then touched an avela or touched a sheretz or something else, it would be mekabel tumas oichlin and it would be tameh. Then the Mishnah continued on the Amud Beis. What happens, however, nishkato abehema, that eventually this behema was geshachten and it still has that aver and basar hamadul dolim. So we had a machloek between a meir and a pshimin whether or not you have to do a new hechsher to be for the purposes of this aver or basar to be mekabel tuma of tumas oichlet. Normally, all food items have to have first a hechsher lekabel tuma. So the question is, and in fact, that's what it said on the ratio of the Mishnah, that this aver and this basar, if you want it to be mekabel tuma, it has to have a hechsher. Question is, now when you shecht the behema, will the dam shechita be machsher lekabel tuma, or do you need a separate hechsher? That was a machlokes of Meir and Reb Shimon. Reb Meir said the shechita, the dam, does a great job, and the aver will now be mukshar lekabel tuma, so that if and when a nevela or a sheretz, a mitzoyra, a zav, etc., touch it, it's going to become tamei. But Reb Shimon said, no, this dam shechita did not do the trick. It needs a separate hechsher. And the question is, what's the basis of the machlokes between the Meir and Reb Shimon? And our Gemara Mi'at Hashem is going to go through 5 or 6 different pshatim in the machloikis, or different hezberim in the machloikis between Rameh and Reb Shimon. We already went through the first 2 yesterday, but because it's an introduction to today's Gemara, we can quickly go through it once again. So we'll start from 10 lines from the bottom of the Omid. Nishchato ha-behema, said Rameh, hukshur b'demeo, and Reb Shimon said, loy hukshur. The Micah Mithli, what's a machloikis? Amar Rabba. The behema nasis yadli aver kamiflegi. It's talking about that the blood of the shechita, when it burst out at the time of the shechita, it didn't splatter onto the yad, only onto the behema. Okay, so now the behema flesh now is mukshel lekabel tuma. That's fine. The question is, what about that aver amedulgal? Is that mukshel lekabel tuma? Zok yetzraba. That's the machlokes. Mar savar, one man yema holds. Ein behema nasis yadli aver. The behema is chagroisa behema. The aver is just a relatively small aver. I would not go and say that the behema has a status of a yad for purposes of this aver. If the behema was a yad for purposes of this aver, so then that's fine, because we've already learned that when it comes to hilchois tuma, it's a yad can be moitzi umachnes. Our Gemara goes one step further, and that is that not only the Gabi Hilchois Tumah, but even the Gabi Hilchois Hechsher, the Yad is Moitzi Umachnes. So therefore, if this behemah is considered to be a Yad for the Aver, then the Aver now has become Mokshe Lekabel Tumah. If you hold Marsav behemah Nasis Yad the Aver, and the other one holds Ein behemah Nasis Yad the Aver, so according to Reb Meir, the behemah Nasis Yad the Aver, and that's why it's Hochshur B'Demel. According to Reb Shimon, no. the behemoth does not become a yad la'aver, and therefore it's not hoksha b'demeh. So it's a very simple machlokes whether or not you say a behemoth can become a yad for the aver. The machlokes is when you have such an insignificant part of the body, this limb or this piece of flesh, insignificant in the sense that unfortunately it is so detached from the animal that it's only holding by a hair. So if you give a small little tug on that cotton, unfortunately the girdle is not going to come with it, but rather it's going to become detached. And that's the machlokes. Mar sovar oiches bekotn gadol oile imoy hari hu kamoil. That even though when you go and schlep the cotton, this aver, it's going to fall off and become severed immediately, I don't care. At the moment it's still attached, hari hu kamoil, it's one entity, it's one behaima with this aver hamadoldo. But don't go and tell me that this is two separate entities. And just like any single time that you want to be machsher oichel kabel tuma, when I want to be machsher, for instance, an apple, does the whole apple have to go and be swimming in water from all sides? No, as long as a drop of water falls on the apple, it becomes machsher kabel tuma. So water, or in this case dam, fell onto the animal. Okay, so if that's all, you don't have to have it go on every single, on the nose and on the toes and on the back and on the front, as long as you have some mashka somewhere. So, since it's kamoyu, if it's considered to be one entity, it went on the girdle, so it also went on the cotton. However, Reb Shimon says, no, since it's so detachable, marsavar ainoi kamoyu, it's like two separate entities, so even though the behema, the rest of the flesh of the animal is taka mukhshla kabotama, but not the aver hamidult. That's where we basically left off yesterday. And now the Gemara is telling us the Afreb Yoichanan Sabar be Oiches Bekot Mein Godel Oile Imoi Kamifligi. Aha. This very machloikis, the way Abaye explained the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon, Reb Yoichanan subscribes to that same pshat. How do I know? Because Reb Yoichanan Rami Dremeir, Reb Yoichanan asked the stira between our Mishnah and another Mishnah. So if you mara me amar meir oiches bekot me in godel oile imoy hari hu kimoyu ureminu. I have a Mishnah Maseches Tevulyayim, which they don't in the Mishnah. Oichel shenifras u'meura b'miktsas. What happens if you have food where the food item has gotten cut up so that it is now splitting, but it's still a little bit connected? For instance,
Same idea.
Yeah, it's the same idea, exactly. We have over here, for instance, very often they give tikkun and shul, but because of the fact that the knife that's used to cut the cake is made out of plastic, often it doesn't go all the way through the bottom, and then when you go and take a piece, you realize that that piece is still attached to the one next to it, and you get a little bit annoyed, but eventually you go and pull it out and you eat it. Yeah, masmalta. But the point is, it's oichosh nifras, it's been cut, but it's more of a mix, it's still attached now. Bissela. Okay, now the question is, what's the story with the godel and the cotton? Is the oiches v'cotton godel oile imai? So says Remeir Oimer. Em oiches v'cotton. If you take the smaller piece of cake, or the smaller whatever part of the oichel, for instance, when they cut it, one part is 75%, the other is 25%. If you hold on to the cotton, the godel oile imai, or perhaps even a more dramatic case is, we have Mir Tashem on Pesach. Many of us only eat shmura matzah, and when we buy the shmura matzah, often we find that the shmura matzah inside the box is already slightly broken. Not broken into two pieces totally, but you see there's a nice 75% of it is broken. Now the question is, can you still consider that to be a sholem for Lecha Mishnah? Obviously, if you have nothing else, you know, you do the best you can. But if you have other matzahs, can you use that? So this halacha l'chayra applies. Halacha l'maisa, ask your competent Orthodox rabbi. But l'chayra, this halacha applies, is when you are oiches bekatan, is the godel oile imai. You grab onto the smaller of the two halves of this matzah, which is 75% broken. If when you pick up the cotton, the whole thing is still strong enough that it doesn't automatically plots, it doesn't fall apart, oh, how do you combine it? Then you see that it's one entity. The imlav, however, if you grow, hold on to the smaller piece, and guess what happens? Then the other piece snaps off. Then it combine you. Then it's not like that. So the same thing over here. We have the situation, this oichel shenifras u'meur b'miktsas. Now, what was the situation over here? We have a tvul yoim. The tvul yoim touched one of the two pieces, This was a larger piece, but it was already divided up 75%, where one was a larger piece, one was a smaller piece. They're still connected, Me'ur B'Mitzas. And if you were to hold on to the smaller piece, that's the discussion of Oichel B'Katan Gadol Imay or not. What did this fellow do? The Tful Yoyim touched one of the two pieces. And let's go to the Sefer of Remeir, that it was a situation, if he's Oichel B'Katan, Ein HaGadol Oile Imoy, so Tremeir Einoy Kamoyil, and therefore the Tfilyoim will only be Metame that piece that he's touching. He won't be Metame the other piece, even though the two are connected, but they are so fragile and delicate that worry to pick up the cotton, the whole thing falls apart. It's considered to be two separate pieces, it's not one entity. So now Rabbi Yochanan asked the Stira. Rabbi Yochanan said, by uns in the Mishnah it says that if the blood only splattered onto the behemah, not onto the Aver, Ramey says, that's fine, that's good. Aye, if you go and take the cotton, ain't godl oily imoy, no, it's okay. Harihu kamayu, it's still like one entity. Here the Gabbat Tvulyoim says Rameyer, that if the Tvulyoim touches one of the two, only that one becomes Tame, not the other, if Ein HaGadol Oile Imay, Ein HaKamayu, is Bechastir Rameir on Rameir. The Omer of Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said, Mechlefa Sashita. Rashi said, Mechlefa Sashita means that Rameir changed his mind. Are you okay? I see.
I'm looking
with great consternation.
No, I'm trying to hold cup on this, but you say, Mechlefa Sashita, don't switch the Shita of Shem Rameir, you say Rameir himself was Choser. Usually Mechlefas means you switch the Manda Amrim.
You're absolutely correct. And normally when you see the words Mechlefas Hashita, the Gemara is telling us that the two Mandi Amrim have to switch sides. And then always the question is it the first Machlaikis, is the second Machlaikis? But here Rashi interprets the Mechlefas Hashita a little bit differently. If you look at Rashi, third line from the top, Kan Hechlef Rameir Shitosi. Here Rameir changed his Shita, because normally Rameir holds, I will be Alma Svirale, says Rashi, Oiches Bekotten, the Ein Godel Oile Imay Hariu Kamayu.
Right.
And here he's changed his mind and he says, no, he changes course. So Rashi doesn't say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying definitively that Rameir actually changed his mind like Rabbi Halacha.
Globally.
But Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rameir has charted a different course, in this case in the Tvulyoim, than usual. Because normally he always holds Ariu Kamayu. And over here I see he holds Aina Kamayu. So Rabbi Yochanan asked that steer. Now, there's an easy answer. And the easy answer is that our Mishnah has nothing to do with the halacha of oiches v'katan, the gadol or the imay. The reason for Rameir's shita in our Mishnah has to do with whether behema nasis yad le'aver or not. And it's talking about a situation where, for instance, the cotton was sufficiently attached to the animal that if you would schlep on it, the gadol oile imoy. That's not the basis of the machloikis. The basis of the machloikis is, we could have said like Rabba, whether behema nasis yad le'aver or not. But you see, Rabbi Yochanan insisted that we have the stira. But the fact that he said that this is a stira, muzdach zayin, that he's learning that our Mishnah is going with the approach of the oiches bekotten ve'ein gadol oile imoy. So that's why the Gemara said on the bottom that I have a right that Rabbi Yochanan also holds that the after Rabbi Yochanan saw that the machloikis has to do with oiches bekotten ve'ein gadol imoy from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan asked the stira Rameir on Rameir.
And we don't clarify why according to Rabbi Yochanan Rameir changed his mind in this narrow case.
We do not. No. All we're trying to go and prove is that Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to this same shot in the machloikis between a mayor and Rabbi Shimon.
Like a buyer.
Exactly. Frey Dimar, umay kushya. I don't understand what the kash of Rabbi Yochanan is.
Right.
It's true that the common denominator of our Gemara and of the Tvulyoim, both of them are talking about Tumma on one, or in our case, Hechsher on one, and whether it spreads to the other. But I can distinguish between the two cases. That's talking about a Tvul Yoyim. And here we're talking about Shar Tumas. What does the Gemara mean? In the case of Tvul Yoyim, we all know a Tvul Yoyim has the status of a Sheni L'Tumah. Since a Tvul Yoyim is a Sheni, remember, what's a Tvul Yoyim? A person that was Tomei, full-fledged Tomei.
Almost ready for life. Missing one piece.
Exactly. He was Tomei because he touched a Sheret, a dead Sheret, he touched a Nevela. The person went to the Mikvah, and now he's waiting for Herev Shemesh at night. So he's got to wait either 5 minutes or 5 hours, depending on when the person went to the Mikvah, and when Herev Shemesh is going to be at night. Okay. During that period, he's a Tvul Yoyim. He has the status of a Sheni. since he's a shiny, this, if you want, is a shiny yid. What happens now, if he were to go and touch chulin, the answer is nothing happens, because chulin can only go to a shiny, and he's a shiny, so when he touches a chulin, he can take it, he can eat it, he can embrace it, he can do hag b'glila, nothing happens to that chulin. However, if he takes truma in hand, oh, a truma can go to a shlishi, so he'll be metame that truma. And if he's touching kodshim, he can go even all the way to a revi. Good, fine. Rather, our case is talking about truma, says Rashi, and that's why we're concerned about this tvulyam. But tvulyam only has a din of a shayin. It's good. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about heksher. We have over here this eiver hamedoldol, and now I'm being machshir lemushul with dam, or for that matter, any one of the seven mashkois. And now what happens? Now it's mushul lekabotumah. A sheretz is going to go and touch it. Guess what's going to happen? The sheretz has the status of an avetumah. It's going to go and touch the oichel. It's going to have the status of a rishon letumah. Now I ask you, which is more chomer, a rishon or a sheni letumah? Obviously, a rishon is muhammad. Why is rishon muhammad? Because a rishon can be metama, oichlin or mashkin, even of chulin. A sheni we just established a moment ago cannot be metama chulin, only truma and kodshim. So therefore, tvul yoyim is a lesser form of tuma than regular tumas oichlin. So therefore, konzain, we could answer Rav Yochanan Stira, and we can go and say, when did Rav Meir say that if you have an aver hamedoldol and you go and schlep on that aver, it's going to go and detach? Ain gadol oile imoy, but nevertheless it has a status of kamoyu, and therefore the heksher works, and it was machshir the behema, and that heksher now will apply also to the aver, because we're talking about a tuma chamura. A sheret or nevela is going to touch it, it's going to become a rishon letumah. Where did Rav Meir say that einoi kamoyu? That's talking about a tvul yoyim, where it's only a shiny letumah. And the chayyim, that would be a very simple answer. And that's what the Gemara is asking. My kusha, what's the steer of Yerchon is asking Rav Meir? Tumashoni le Rav Meir, bein tvul yoyim, le shar tumas. And in fact, says the Gemara, this is not only a speculative answer. Tanya, we have in the Brice, Rebbe Oimer, Echad Tvul Yoyim, V'Echad Shar Tumais. The Tvul Yoyim and Shar Tumais are the same for these purposes, for the purpose of that Mishnah in Masechtas Tvul Yoyim. So Gemara, however, Demul Rebbe Lishanilei, Umer Meir Shanilei. Even though when Rebbe learned this halacha, he said, man, no difference, Tvul Yoyim, anything else. This, these principles of Oiches Bekotten, the Gadol Oile Imai, Kamoyu, Eile Kamoyu, that's universal. I'm not going to distinguish between one tomb and the other. But maybe your mayor did distinguish. And therefore, the Chayyar Rabbi Yochanan's kasha falls away. Because our case is talking about a tumma chamura, and that's talking about a tumma kala. Good. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I'll explain to you why Rabbi Yochanan asked this stira. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Mochlefes Hashita. What Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is, Hachi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, L'divei Rebbe, assuming that Rebbe Meir agrees with Rebbe's Shita, that there is no distinction between Tvul Yoyim and Shar Tumas, like Rebbe just said 2-3 lines ago, assuming that Rebbe Meir goes with Rebbe, then Mechlef is Shita, and Rebbe Meir has changed course from way he normally learns throughout Chas. Throughout Chas, he normally holds, Im Oichel Bekot Megadol Imoi, Hari Hu Kamoyu, and here he says, no, Eina Kamoyu. And that's the end of this. I'm sorry, and here he's more Mekel, exactly. So now the question, why, when, where, says, all we know is Rabbi Yochanan says that somehow Rav Meir changed course over here. What's the reason? We don't know. Maybe in fact that's the reason, because it's Tvul Yoyim. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just simply says, I don't understand the kash in the first place. These two different types of tumah. This is a tumah chamura, and this is a tumah kala. Now that's the simple pshat, so to speak, in the Gemara. Why do I say the simple pshat? Because it's a very, 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 very difficult Rashi, and that Rashi is 8 lines from the top of the Amid, where Rashi says that the difference between our case and the case of Tvul Yoyim, so Rashi Dilma, see the first one in the line, Avagav the Meikor Ameir, but Tvul Yoyim Shehu Tuma Dirabonon, because Tvul Yoyim is Midrabonon. Machmer Hu, by our case, but Tuma Chamura. Notice that there is an asterisk next to the shoe. Tumad Rabbanan. That gives you a clue that that's the Gilyan Ashas. Gilyan Ashas and Rabbi Kiva Aiget. So you look in the fifth line of Gilyan Ashas, Shehu Tumad Rabbanan. Tumuli, Hatvul Yoim, Hutame Diaraisa, Lifsoil, Truma Benegia. Look in Soita, look in the Toises. Behavli the Rashi Loimar, the Tvul Yoim, Kolish Tumasai. All Rashi could have said and should have said is like we explained it. That here you're talking about a Tumah Chamura of a Rishon Tumah. And then you're talking about a Tvul Yoim, which is a Sheni Tumah. So he doesn't have to get into Tumah Rabbanan. Tzarech Iyun Gadol. It requires great diligence and research to be able to answer this kasha. And in fact, you can look up the Tosfos and you look up the Gemara, but Bema says to Chapasik. It says in the Pasik that afterwards he goes to the mikvah, Uvo HaShemesh V'Taher. And for that, Uvo HaShemesh V'Taher learns the Gemara, when does he have the full degree of Tara? After the Shemesh sets, after Harav Shemesh sets, the Pasik Psukim. So it says here, Shver Rashi. But notice, and at least in my Gemara, that's one of the beautiful Gemaras that was donated by Imzir Tayyar, Achav Reb David, after Shehu Tumad Rabbanan, there's a little gimel there. Do we only have that little gimel? He says in Oiz Gimel, six lines in, Teva Shehu Tumad Rabbanan, less of Iksaviyad. In fact, those were deleted, those were omitted in a manuscript. But I am Begilian Hashah, I said, look, in the Rebbe. According to that, if you take the three words out, of course, then the whole Kasha Nishka Kasha. It doesn't say Shehud Tumid Rabbanan. It says, Ah, we're going to make a Rebbe Tvul Yoim, Machmir Hubet Tumim Chamura, Nemusa Fanfit, no Kasha whatsoever. That's a very easy fix if, in fact, those words don't appear. Okay. Anyway, so we've gone through two pshatim so far in the Machlokes, the pshat of Rabba and the pshat of Abaya / Rabbi Yochanan. Now we go on to the third pshat. Rava Amar B'yesh Yad L'Tumma V'Ein Yad L'Hashek Kamivligi. What does the Gemara mean to say? We know this is a din of Yad. That Yad is Machnis U'moitzi Es Hatum. So to take a very simple example, which we've given in the past, you have an apple. You have an apple that has this stem sticking out of it. Either it is organic apple, not organic apple. But anyway, you have that stem sticking out. And now, if you want to pay double, you'll get the stem for sure. If you don't want to pay, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. Okay. Anyway, you hold on to that stem. Everybody agrees that that stem is inedible. You can't eat the stem. However, you can hold the apple by holding the stem. So that's called a yad. So what happens now if a nevela or a dead sheretz touches the stem? Doesn't touch the apple. Stays away from the apple. Doesn't want to be metama the apple. But it does touch the stem. Will the apple become tamei? And the answer is yes. Why will it become tamei? Because yad acts as a moitzi and a machnis. It's a conductor of tamei. Good. What happens if instead of the sheretz or nevela touching the stem, water touches the stem? No, sure. What's the problem? Yeah, the problem is that this apple until now didn't have any mashke on it. It was only recently harvested, recently cut. So far, it's dry as dry can be. So if there's no mashke that fell on top of the apple, it's not mukshel kabel tumah. But what happens if water fell on the stem of the apple? Would that be a conductor, a moitzi and machnes of hechsher? So you remember we had a machlokes about that earlier on in our parak, and the Gemara gave two reasons for the machlokes, either based on mikra, because mikra nidish lefanav leif neifanav or also leif neifanav, or the Gemara was the machlokes, what's pshat in hechsher? Is hechsher considered to be like a tchila satuma, or is it considered to be or something similar, something just to make it a gemar melacha, to make this into an ochel? But not because it's... So you're wondering, where do we have this? We have the beginning of the parak. If you want to look back on... You started the parak. It's on Kif Yid Ches Umid Beis. Kif Yid Ches Umid Beis. If you look a little bit past halfway down the Umid, Umrav Chiyah Barashi, Umrav, Yesh Yad Letuma, the Ein Yad Lehesher. Pritechen Umid, Yesh Yad Letuma, Uva Hesher. Rabbi Yechanan holds that there is a tumah and yad for Hesher as well. Maika Mitli. He by same as far, he by same mikra, he by same mikra. Marasav mikra nishlo fanav leil lefnei fanav. Marasav mikra nishlo fanav vilef nei fanav. What was the pasuk that the Gemara is referring to? We had the pasuk on the Amud Aleph. So the pasuk says, V'chiyutan mayim al zera v'nofal min havlasim olav tamehu lochem. The Gemara learned that lochem, the rabbis quotes or chechem. That was the makar of the din of yad. So the question is, does that just go on the benafim and nevlosim olav on the tumah, or does it go on the beginning of the pasuk b'chiyut and mayim al zera, which is the halacha of the hechsher? That's machlokes whether the lechem, the yad, goes on the beginning or only on the middle of the pasuk. That's one pshat. The other pshat was the swara. What was the pshat of the swara? So if you marry boy, say maswara marasav hechsher tchilas tumahu, marasav hechsher lav tchilas tumahu. What did Rabbi Yochanan hold? Rabbi Yochanan holds yesh yad. Because of that, that's why Rabbi Yochanan did not like the pshat of Rava. That's why Rabbi Yochanan had his own pshat about the gadol oyle imay. Because Rava is saying that there's a machloik is now in the Mishnah whether or not yesh yad lehechsher. And that's our case over here. Because we're talking about that the blood splattered on the behemoth, but not on the Eva. So the question is, let's assume for a See, Abaye's pshat, I'm sorry, Rabba's original pshat was that there's a machlokes whether behema nasis yad le'eiver, ain behema nasis yad le'eiver. Now, this pshat holds that everybody agrees that behema nasis yad le'eiver. This huge behema can become the yad for this relatively small limb, this eiver, yesh yad le'eiver. The question is that only legabi tuma purposes, or also legabi hechsher purposes? Because our Mishnah is talking about the hechsher, the blood splattered on this big behemah. The question is, does the yad also get a din now of hechsher? So Rabbi Yochanan said back with Kif Yitchas, of course, yesh yad, both for tuma and for hechsher. Says Rabbi, that's the machlekes in our Mishnah. The yesh yad tuma and the yad hechsher. Come if you might say the yesh yad tuma, the ain yad hechsher. That's why Rabbi Shimon says. Loi Hochsheru, Omar Sova, and Reb Meir hold, Yesh Yad Tuma Ul Hechsher, and that's why the splattering of the blood on the behemoth helps to be Machsher also the Eifer.
On what grounds would it not be Hechsher?
Why would it not be Machsher?
Yeah, that seems to be a break in the logic.
Because no Mashke fell on the Eifer. The Mashke only fell on the big animal. So the animal is certainly Mukhshar.
But we know that the only reason why it's a Yad is because it's attached to it.
Oh, so the question is, this din of Yad is a very novel din. You can't just go and say it on it on your own. If I have an apple and it has a stem sticking out, and the Nevelu or the Sheretz only touch the stem, based on my own human logic, I would say, what does that have to do with the apple? The apple says, I need that stem like a lochen cup. It's just causing me, filling up the loch in my cup inside the...
The apple.
What do I need it for? When's the last time you ate the stem? Never. Nobody eats the stem. You toss it, right? So it has no practical purpose other than for these halachas. So we have a chiddush in the pasuk that tells you lechem that the stem is also a conductor of tumah back and forth. Yeah. Question is, can you go and add to that svara and say noch a chiddush that even it's also acts a conductor of hechsher? And that's the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon. Good. On to the next pshat. That was pshat number 3. Pshat number 4. Rav Papa Amar the hechsher koydim machshava kemitliyi. Can you have a hechsher before the machshava? What does he want to mean before the machshava? Because you can have a hechsher only on ochel. You cannot have a hechsher on something which is not an ochel. Even if later it becomes an ochel, the question is, will the original hechsher attach and work for that ochel as if it happened post-ochel? Now, 99% of the cases, something is an ochel, it's an ochel, it's an ochel. I don't have to think about it to make it into an ochel. But there are exceptions to the rule where the thing does not have an intrinsic or inherent name of ochel until I say, yo, it's an ochel. So give me an example, what are we talking about? So Rashi says, that's our case over here. It's talking about a situation when the person shechted this animal, which had an Eiver HaMedulDul, a Yid is not allowed to go and eat from that Eiver HaMedulDul. What's the reason why? Because after it's going to be severed, it's going to have a status of an Eiver Menachai. Okay, a Goy is also not allowed to eat Eiver Menachai. But there's some Goyim that don't know about the 7 Noahide laws. Or even if they know about them, they don't keep them. So under normal circumstances, when the Yid is shechting this animal, he has no intention of eating it, and he's presumably just going to go and dispose of it. And guess what happens? 5 minutes after Shechita, he gets a telegram, or today he gets an email, or he gets a fax, or he gets whatever, a WhatsApp, that there are some goyim in town that are looking for a special Eiver Menachai, because they're making a ganze party tonight, and they need it. Ah! So he said, no, I'm sorry, sure, I'm going to supply it to them if that's what they want, you know. We're not worried about lifnei iver for our purposes. Okay, so now the question is, until 5 minutes ago, he was going to dispose of it. It did not have a status of an ochel. All of a sudden, now it's an ochel. Not an ochel for a yid, an ochel for a goy. But an ochel is an ochel is an ochel. Ah, so now, will this ochel be mekabel tuma? I'm not going to eat it anyway. Yeah, but what happens if this ochel goes and touches one of my ma'acholim, is it going to go and transmit to him? So if this original ochel, this Eiver Menachai, if it's considered to be mukshel lekabel tuma, and the velo sheretz folds on it, now it's going to have a status of a rishon l'tuma. If it's going to afterwards touch my ochel, then it's going to become a shein l'tuma. My food is going to become tame.
But isn't Eiver Menachai intrinsically tame? Does Eiver Menachai, forget all the machshava, the goyim coming to town, the party.
You're right. Take away the Eiver Menachai aspect of it. Just talk about the fact that it can be makabel tumas oichel. Right? We start off the Mishnah that you can have, for Eiver Abbasim Adul Dolim, the tam and tumas oichel, and the din of tumas oichel. But now, this is not an ochel. When I'm using the term Eber Menachai, I don't mean Eber Menachai in the halachic sense. I'm talking
capital
about
letters, you're talking about just in the colloquial sense here, this dangling limb.
Because it's so from attached exactly to a chai. So, now you want it to become tamei, you have to be machsha the kabbal tamei. You're right. If it was
genuine
Eber Menachai, then you wouldn't need a hechsher. Shkoyach, you're 100% right. So now, he wants, not that he wants, it was Moshe the Kabbal Tumah because of the blood that splattered on the behemoth. Did that also be Machshir the Aver? Oh, it wasn't an Ochel until now, because at the time of the Shechita, he expected to go and just take the Seir and dispose of it. But now that the Goyim said that they want to eat it, oh, from this point on, the question is, will that original Hechshir cause, that original Shechita, cause this newly formed, newly created Ochel to be Mokshel and Kabbal Tumah, to be able to go and transmit Tumah to my Ochel? Yeah, is that clear now?
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm trying to think of other examples where something.
Mark's going
to
give another example. I'll
be nice. I'll be patient.
We said once it is Shechita, so Shechita is a Nipol.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's no longer Ochel.
Please go back to the Rashi of yesterday, the third line. Homin Beis, top Rashi, third line from the top.
Hukshurub is a male kabbal tuma below.
One said, no. I'm focusing on your comment. You just said nashchita ois nipple. What does Rashi say in the third line? Why?
The
nashchita ois nipple. Right. So you don't want to argue with Rashi. No. What you're thinking of is the next Rashi about Misa, that Misa is Oysenipo. If you look at Shom Daf Ayin Gimel there in the parentheses, Misa Oysenipo, but not Ein Shechita Oysenipo. Because Ein Shechita Oysenipo, that means it's not considered as if it becomes an Avela a second before the Shechita. Good. Anyway, it doesn't become an Eivah Menachai, but I do have a situation where it's now an Ochel, if I think about it for purposes of a Goy. So let's take a quick look at the Rashi here, on Kuf Chof Ches Omid Aleph, halfway down the Omid, Behechsher Koyde Machshava Kanivli, Udekuli Alma, Yesh Yad Letumah Ulehechsher. So therefore, if you have blood splattering on the Behema, it is a Yad, for Turma purposes, Hechsher purposes, Ela. Sheshachta koydim shechishiv laachila evikachovim. They called them hechsher lemachshava. When he shechted it, he didn't have in mind at that time to go and give it to the guy to eat, and therefore the hechsher came first before it had a tairas oich. So Rashi, Reb Shimon, Savar Kimin de Bishas Hechsher. Akati la bar kibuli tumahu. The sami lav laachila koy. It wasn't an ochel yet, so it's just a domain. It's like a table. It's a piece of wood. It's not ro'i la'achila. He didn't have in mind for achila, so therefore the hechsher didn't attach to it. Sha'afle b'noyach osrhu, the hechsher na'ami lo'i tekabal, therefore it will not, the hechsher won't work. However, now, because of the fact that we have the, so now the question is, do we need a new hechsher after the machshava?
We promoted it to the status of achila, now does it require a hechsher, because it's a chiyutan thing, it has to be machshava, it requires machshava from hechsher?
Machshava, it has to do with hechsher, here to machshava to make it into an ochel.
But I'm saying, is it because it's hechsher, is that what it is? It's the machshava that's sort of dispositive here, that the machshava to make an ochel is also because machshava also requires the chiyutan?
99% of ochlin are inherently ochlin, but they're exceptions to the rule, over here, that normally this is disposable. And since now he has in mind to give it to a guy, now becomes transformed into a real life ochel. From this point on, we have to make sure that it has a hechsher if we want it to become tamei and to transmit tamei to other things. But it had a hechsher already; it had a hechsher as a result of the shechita,
but it didn't count.
That's the machloik is between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon. Reb Meir and Amisha said nishkot abeheim hechsher v'damei. It wasn't an ochel yet, so it wasn't an ochel yet, but it had a hechsher, so the ochel came later. Says Reb Shimon, oh no, it's got to be an ochel first, and a hechsher second. That's the machlekes. So back to Yomara. Papa Omer beHechsher Koyim Machshava Kamifli. Now where else do we have this machlekes? The Tanan really says on the Sanya. Omer Yehuda Kach Hoyer Rabbi Kiva Shoynes. Chaylev Shchuta Bikforim Tzorech Machshava VeEin Tzorech Hechsher Shikvar Hochshav Shchita. What is this all about? This is very, very similar to our case. You have over here a behema, and we're going to shech the behema, and you and I know, what are we going to do with the chaylev of that behema? We're going to dispose of it. I'm not going to eat it. You're not going to eat it. What are we going to do with the mitunish? Maybe we're going to go and use it fine. No, we're going to go and smear with it the saddles of our donkeys. Fine. But I'm certainly not going to eat from it. So it doesn't have a din of an ochel. Right? He called oichel chayla v'nechrisa. Chas v'shol. He wouldn't even think of it being an ochel. And guess what happens? After we went and shechted the animal, then somebody comes over and says, there are a bunch of goyim that they want to have this chaylev. They're having a chaylev party tonight. They need it for eating chaylev. Shoy? So now it's going to become an oichel. It wasn't an oichel until now. Now it's going to become an oichel. So do I have to be machshir it fresh so that it should be mekabel tumah and transmit tumah? Oh. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Bekiva. What did Rabbi Kiva teach? That chaylev shchuta bikfarim, vosep estavka bikfarim, why not bikrachim? So Rashi says two pshatim. Rashi said pshat number one is because in the kfarim there are not a lot of people. It's a kleine shtetl. The whole shtetl only has 12 people there. And therefore, when they go and shecht one big behema, there's enough meat to go around for everybody. And nobody's going to bother with the chaylev. The chaylev is considered to be disposable. Who's going to eat the chaylev? Delicious.
They eat the ikker.
Then they're going to throw away the tuffel. So it's only the krachim where there are many, many, many more people. You got 8, 9, 10 million people in New York. 3/4 of them are not even legal. And what they all need to eat.
They all eat, exactly.
So then they're going to eat the grass-fed straws, whatever is left over. So they're all going to go and eat from the chaylev. So if you happen to be a shoychet in the big town, in the big city, you know that there'll be a customer for everything, including for the chaylev. And therefore the chaylev will have the status of an oichel. But not in the kvarim. It's usually disposable. So that's what it says. That's shot number one. The second shot of Rashi is almost reverse. Rashi said that the reason why in the kfarim they didn't eat the chaylev because the kfarim aniyim hay, people, the rural community, people, most of them are very poor, and so therefore they cannot afford the expensive chaylev. But v'krachim shem ashirim, these big city slickers, these big shots over here, they're grosser knackers, they're grosser ashirim, so they do eat the chaylev, and that's presumably a nice delicacy, especially if you write on the menu in French, and then it really is a chaylev de Francais,
for the feinschmeckers.
So getting back to our Gemara, that's why Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Akiva, that chaylev shchuta bikfarim, where this is not a hot item, it's not an ochel, it's usually disposable. Tzorach machshava, but you don't need a new hechsher because since it's chaylev shchuta of a yishach to the animal, so then the hechsher worked, even though it became an ochel subsequently. So a hechsher pre machshava works.
When the animal is geshach, we're talking about a geshach to the animal.
Yeah, it says shchuta.
Right. So shchuta. So the animal was machshir. The buster of the animal was machshir kabel tuma during the shchita.
Exactly.
We're saying all the chaylev in an animal is halakhically walled off from that hechsher.
If it's certainly walled off, that you're not going to eat it.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can't eat it,
it doesn't have a Torah's ochel, unless you're in a krach. In krach, you know that you can sell it to the goy. But in kfar, nobody's going to eat it.
Whether it is edible, so to speak.
Yeah.
Legally edible.
Amar Tilafanim. So when Rabbi Yehuda said this in the name of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yehuda says about himself, I said, Rebbe, the Maratana Rabbeinu, you, Rabbi Kiva, taught us, Ulshin shalokton v'hidichon lebehema, v'nimlech aleyem li odom, tzrichas hechsher sheini. This is almost a similar case, parallel case. You have Ulshin. Ulshin is the name of greens. For those of you that are curious, if you look up Masechtas Pesachim, towards the end, when it talks about those minim that are kosher for purposes of maror, Ulshin is one of the four or five mentioned, Chasa and also the Chrein. And Ulshin is also mentioned. The Gemara says Ulshin is called Hindivi. And Hindivi, many people say that's endives. And that's why a lot of people eat endives for mar. Wow. Based on that, Hindivi, Ulshin, Ayin, Mesechtes Ptochet. Anyway, Hindivi, yeah. Yeah, don't be nervous, that's what it's called.
Learn it now.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So that's why we're learning it now. It's right before Pesach. Exactly right. Shkoy. So now, and Rashi Gredo says over here, what's the ocean? Rashi says, yeah, Krispala. And if you look at Mpsach Tzachim, there also Rashi says, Indivi, Krispala. Good. Anyway, Indivi is the Aramaic term, and Krispala is the Rashi, presumably French term, old French term. Blas. So getting back to Agua. So this ocean, this moror, this type of whatever types of greens, Shalok, that he originally collected them, and he washed them. Since he washed them, it's Mukhshar the Kabbalah. And he did it with the Kabbalah. He wanted to wash them. But his intention was, normally people don't eat endives, maybe today they do. But he originally was the Behemah. Original Machal Behemah. Machal Behemah is not an Ochel, because that's a Behemah, it's Nishkamech. Okay? But now he changed his mind. Why did he change his mind? He got a big order for a fancy chasana at the Waldorf Astoria, and so you have to go and garnish the plates. You put on these inedibles next to the big meat, which everybody's going to throw away anyway. Today, perhaps people eat it. Anyway, so this machal, the hymen, now has become a machal odom. What's the halacha said, Rav Akiva? Tzrichas hechsher, said he got to do a new hechsher, because the hechsher has to be post machshava, not pre machshava. So Rav Akiva is soiser himself. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda said, that I asked Rabbi Kiva, he said by the Chedesh Chud B'Kvarim, Tzorach Machshava, but you don't need a new Hashash, Shekvar Huchshem B'Shechita. So why don't you say the same thing by Olshin? There was already, he diach, he already had the Hashash before. No. Now becomes an Oichel, you have to have a brand new Hashash. So Rabbi Kiva himself had a change of course, a change of opinion. In fact, the Brisa finishes off. Because Rabbi Kiva, Yoshoinik Rabbi Yehuda, eventually Rabbi Kiva was convinced that Rabbi Yehuda was right, and therefore he learned Taka the way Rabbi Yehuda taught him that I had heard from Rabbi Kiva previously. Anyway, what Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda eventually held,
He changed his mind.
What they held is not really not Negev. The Iker is what does Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon hold. Mar Savalakim Eikar. Rabbi Meir holds like the original. In other words, that's the first Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Kiva, that Ein Tzorach Hechsher. Since I had a Hechsher from before, yeah, by the Shechet of Shechuta, you don't have to have. Same thing in our Mishnah. You don't have to have a new Machshava. And Rabbi Shimon said, no. Kichazara. Like the second halacha of Rabbi Kiva, that Ulshin Shalach, then you have to have a Hechsher Shaini. You have to have a Hechsher Shaini. Because here too, it was not an Ochel before. Who was going to eat this Eva Medoldal? It was going to be disposed of. Oh, now you're going to go and make it into an Ochel? So you have to have a brand new Hechsher.
Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir, and Rishimon, all students of Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, exactly right.
So Rishimon,
all in the family.
Rishimon attended the classes on those days Rabbi Akiva taught one way, and then Rabbi Meir attended the other.
Yeah, could be. Anyway, that's the end of the fourth pshat. Now we go on to the fifth pshat. We have two more to go. Rav Acham Reid of Ika Omar ben Iskaneach Adam Bein Simla Simin Kamiflegi. Mar Sav Yesh Nashchit Matchil Batzoyf. Vaidam Shchiti. Omar Sav Ein Shchilu Batzoyf. Vaidam Makahu. What is this all about? It's a very, very simple case. It's talking about when they shechted the animal over here. How many simanim does every animal have?
Two.
What are the two?
The Kana and the Veshet.
Everybody agrees. And everybody knew that you have to go and cut both of them. At least Rove of both of them. Fine. So what happens? He went and cut through the first, Lamashal, the Kana. And guess what happened? Blood started bursting out from all sides. Wow, so much blood. Here he was getting in his face, on his nose, on his toes. So somebody quickly came over and wiped it all clean. Now he goes and continues on. There was no shahir. He's doing it slowly, very deliberately. And now he cuts through the second simon. Miraculously, no blood comes up by the second simon. It was only by the first simon, not by the second simon. And by the time he finished the shechita, there's no blood left at all, because they were mekaneach. They went and cleaned up the mess of the dam of the shechita. Well, that's a bad person, but you're right. The hangman is now dead. Good. Anyway, so what's the shaila over here? We have a famous machloikis, yesh v'la shechita mechila v'atzoif. Do you say that shechita begins at the very first moment that he cuts, till the last moment? Or do you say, no, only at the end? Because until the end, it's not gishachten yet. For instance, what happens if he only severed the two pipes up to 50%, not 51, only 50.
It's not a
shechita. In fact, the animal
by the vela.
Well, it depends whether it's by the kana or the veshet. Which one?
The veshet, because the kana you can sustain even if it's
up to
50%.
But what about the veshet?
The
veshet. Even a mashu.
The treifa.
Beautiful. First mission of the treifa. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to Agumar. So the Gemara says now we have a machlekes. This kaneach adam bein tzimun l'semen kamefigim. Maris abesh yesh v'shechita b'tchila v'atzoyf. And since shechita is from beginning until end, since there was dam by the first simon, v'hai dam shechita. It's dam shechita, and dam shechita is machshir. No. And by the time you finished off the shechita, there was no dam left. That dam had been eradicated, eliminated. No more. And therefore, by dam makos, it was just a dam of making makos. Because in fact, the beginning of the shechita is not machshir. In fact, if anything, you're making it treif. So you got to be careful. So it's damaka. And damaka is not machshir. That's machlek between a mayor and Reb Shimon and our Mishnah.
Didn't we have another treif? You have to cut the vreden and everything. And
vreden, it's only by oifis, not by bahayim.
Okay.
Fine. finally, we have shot number six. Ravashi Omar, b'shchita machsheres v'lo dam kamifli. This had machlokes also early on. Amasechta. What is machsher? Is it the shchita which is machsher, or is the dam of the shchita which is machsher?
A long time ago.
Shchita yevesha. Shchita yevesha is the machkimina.
Machkimina be shchita yevesha. Exactly right. Shchita yevesha means a miraculous shchita where there was no blood. Like Gemara talks about that you can have a lady yevesha without blood, or you can have a mila without blood. All these things you always should have blood. Okay, but at least theoretically it could happen. So anyway, getting back to our Gemara.
The answer to that is that it's shchita.
It's machlekes, machlekes.
We originally said it was dam. But you wouldn't have dam if there was no shchita.
You wouldn't have dam. You could have
dam. You wouldn't have dam shchita if there was no shchita.
Right, but then dam itself, it doesn't mean anything.
Right, it's damaka. It's damaka.
Damaka. Okay, so now bottom line is you have machlek between Rameh and Rav Shimon earlier on Masechta. What is the machshir? Is it the shchita or is it the dam? Normally makes no difference. I shecht it, so the shchita is machshir, and I have blood, so the blood is machshir. So one nafkamina is taka shchita yevesha. But here's another nafkamina too. Here we have a case that there was zicha blood. The question is, do we have a shchita? What do you mean? Of course we have a shchita. We have a person shecht it. Says Rav Shimon, what type of shchita is machshir? Only a shchita ra'uya. If a shchita she'ein ra'uya,
shmei shchita.
Lav shmei shchita. This is a shchita she'ein ra'uya. Why is a shchita she'ein ra'uya? Because vis-a-vis the behema, it was a shchita ra'uya, you can eat the behema. But vis-a-vis the eva medoldol, you can't eat the eva medoldol. Even with the best shchita, with the shenst shoichim, with the strengthest board, the best chalif, you can't eat from the eva. So therefore, the shchita was not machshir la'achila the eiver, so it's not machshir la'toma the eiver. Only a shchita ra'uya that's machshir la'achila can be machshir also for purposes of hechshir toma. However, Remeya says, forget about the shchita. You have all this blood. It's the dam of the shchita was machshir, not the shchita was machshir. So dam we got plenty. Therefore, it's machshir.
And if the dam of, according to Remeya, if the dam of that shchita did not reach that eiver,
that would be dependent on the previous gemaras, whether or not yesh yad or ein yad eiver. But Rashi says the other way around. Even if the blood burst and splattered all over, including on the eiver is full of blood. Zokta Chrab Shimon, since this shchita is not machsha the eiver b'achila, it's also not machsha the gabi hilchois tumam. And with this, we've concluded a boisai all the six pshatim in the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon.
Wait for the table. Say it.
The Gemara is going to ask now four shilas in the row, and all four shilas are all of the same genre, and all of them are going to end up with tekum. What are the same genre? We're going to talk about that the machshir, for instance, in our case the blood, fell on something which is inedible, and we want to know whether it can still go and act as a conductor of hechsher to the edible, as yad. So our Gemara explains. For instance, boy rabba. What does the Gemara mean to say? Back in our Mishnah, we started off the Mishnah. They need a hechsher. And then it said in the Amud Beis, Nishchata behema, I have a hechsher mit the dam. They're good. What happens, however, forget about Nishchata behema, hechsher mit the dam. What happens if you went and took water or blood or any of the seven mashkois when the animal was still alive? And you poured it on the behemah, and you washed the behemah, and you said, oh, the behemah is so pretty, so we know for sure he did a great job in machshir the behemah. Can you machshir the behemah? The behemah is still alive. So the behemah itself cannot become now mukshir the kabbalah.
The skin is a shomer, and the shomer is machshir, the motzi tuma.
No, but even has to do the
You're talking about a behemah when it's alive cannot be mekabel tumah, because a behemah is different than a ben adam. We human beings, Baruch Hashem, we are alive, we can be mekabel tumah, but a behemah can't be mekabel tumah when it is alive. So therefore, even though you were machshir it by going putting all these mashkoyas on it, nothing happened to the behemah, it's still not mukshir lekabel tumah. So you're going to tell me after the shchita, after the death, will be mukshir lekabel tumah? That will really depend. First of all, if you're going to have a shchita, you're going to have the dam, you're going to have the shchita, that's going to be machshir. If the behemah dies, you don't need a hechsher because it's now a shtik nevela. We want to know when the behemah is still alive. So the pouring of the mashkoyis on the behemah is lemala v'loymoyed. The question is, will it help legabi the yad, the aver, which is attached to the behemah? So we've already established that there's a machloikis legabi the behemah after the shechita, or as a result of the shechita. Do I say that the behemah is a yad to the aver, that the dam that splattered on the behemah, will that also act as a hechsher for the yad, or for the aver? Now the Gemara is asking, forget about, don't shech the behemah. The behemah was still walking around nicely, fine. Rather, I was machsher the aver by pouring liquid on the animal's back. So now the behemah became quote unquote mukhshar
l'kabel tumah. But it still remains alive.
It remains alive, so therefore the hechsher is l'malav l'mayit. But could it act as a yad for the aver when it's still alive?
Do we deem that aver as if it's already food to require hechsher or not? Is that the question? Even though the animal is still alive, are we saying that that dangling limb is already a food that it's susceptible to the hechsher? Is that it?
That's for sure. Look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Right. It said the Mishnah, but if you put a hechsher on, there's no question about it, then it's metamet tumas oichlin. We want to know whether the tumas oichlin is not only your machsher, the eber directly itself, by pouring mashka on that eber. Whenever you put mashka on the lebedek animal, will that act as a yad? Who asks this question? This question is Rabba. Why is Rabba asked this question? Because Rabba said back on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, that's the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon. And according to Reb Meir, it is machsher. So then a behemah can be a yadli aver, right? So according to that same Reb Meir that holds that after behemah is geshochten, it could be a yadli aver. We want to know whether the same applies b'chayel.
It's a follow up to his.
It's a follow up. That's why Rabbi Lishitose. That's why he's following up with this shaila. Marsha Tiyasi Yadi. Even the Gemara take it. The Gemara's shaila on the surface is a pella. What's the Gemara shaila? What the Gemara means to say is, since the behemah itself cannot become mukhshar l'kabel tumah, so therefore the pouring of the water is meaningless. So the question is whether it could still be a yad for the aver. Let me ask you a question. Let's go back to our classic case of an apple. Can a person eat the stem? No, but if you pour the water on the stem, if you hold yesh yad lehechsher, it does a good job. So even though that's inedible, but it's still machsher, it's still a conductor of tumah to the apple. It's the same thing over here. Even though you can't eat the animal bechayel, you can't eat it, maskin, and the hechsher doesn't do anything, fine. But it could still be if you hold yesh yad.
There's a difference because a stem can never become edible.
But
an animal, if you shecht it properly, does become edible.
And therefore,
so it's not the same quality. One, he has a permanent status and doesn't change.
I hear your answer, but do you hear the kasha? The kasha is the kasha.
Yes.
Good. So the kasha is the kasha of Toysnes, and your answer is slightly like Toysnes' answer. Look at the second Toysnes from the top. Bim b'chayel maush et yosi yavi eva taima. May mi boyele. Im ishnum de behemah b'chayel lav bas kibuli tumihi. That's what you're telling me. Kol yodishe b'oilam namele mekabli tumah. That stem of the apple is also not mekabli tumah.
It's inert.
Be'ela shemachnis is a moitzios tumah. And it's also moitzio machnis yad of hechsher, according to Rabbah. So he was like, so what's the difference? Manish dana. V'yesh loimah. Because they're not edible now, forever. Right. Even if it was an oichel now. What do you mean now? It's an oichel, but not mekabel tumah. What does Tosis mean to say? Tosis means to say is that the distinction between the stem of the apple and between the meat of this live animal is that the stem is not edible, it's not an ochel, but nevertheless it could be a yad. Here, the flesh of this live animal is edible, mitzad metzius. In other words, it's flesh, so you can go and eat meat. But you're not allowed to, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said you're not allowed to. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said about this live animal, even though it's an ochel, it's not mekabel tumah. Oh, if it's not mekabel tumah, maybe it's not mekabel hechsher. So therefore, Tosis says we can distinguish between the case of the behemah and the regular stem. The regular stem, even though it itself is not mekabel tumah, that's because it's not an ochel. But he have an ochel, and the Torah says it's not mekabel tumah. So maybe it's not mekabel hechsher ultimate. We're going to have similar cases now. You'll see one after the other. Amar Rabbi, Hari Amar. I have another case. Kishus is like gourds. cucumbers. And so I think they call cucumbers kishuin, no?
Yes.
Or kishuin is on
the phone.
Omlafafon. Kishuin, I think, is, what are those
squash.
Called?
String beans.
Squash, yeah. Squash. Koich. String beans has another name. String beans has a connection issue. And you have to ask the Israelis. But anyway.
We've already been saying gourds, right?
Gourds, yes, gourds. Not everybody knows what a gourd is.
Kishuin.
So kishuin and kishus are related. So what happens? You have now a flower pot called an otzitz. And it's otzitz she'einoi nokuv, which means that it has a flat bottom. It does not have a hole. Because if it had a hole, then it was considered to be mechubel karka. But it does not have a hole. It's flat. So the kishus which is growing it is detached from the karka. It is, if you want, metalpulim, tulushim. And as a result, if a nevela or a sheretz would fall on it, it's mekabel tuma, because it's not mechubel. But guess what? The Kishus Baruch Hashem is growing and growing. It's now overflowing over the side of the flower pot. And it goes into the Avir. And from Rashi's Mashma, perhaps it even now touches the floor. So now, half of this Kishus is inside a flower pot. It's detached, meaning it's not attached to the ground. The other half, which is over the side, is getting yenika from the ground. After all, if it was an otzitz hanokuv, everybody would agree that it's a mechubel lekarka, and it doesn't have to go on the ground. It could even be hovering in mid-air. It gets that yenika from the ground just by the fact that it has a nekev. So here too, it's over the side, so it's also getting yenika from the ground. The question is, what's the status now of these kishkishus? Is it mekabel tuma because it's considered to be tolush, or is not mekabel tuma because it's considered to be mechubel lekarka? So we have a machloikis, like usual. Because of the fact that the part that went over the side is now mechubel karka, so now it goes back. The whole thing is considered to be mechubel karka. The whole thing is tahar. It cannot. It's not susceptible to mekabel tumah. Reb Shimon, just because it goes over the side becomes tahar. So you have an interesting case of one long kishus, one long gourd or squash.
Part of it.
Half of it happens to be mechubel karka. Half of it is considered to be tolush. If a nevela or a sheretz falls on it, assuming that it's mechubel kabel tuma, it's only going to be metame half of it, not the other half. Only that part which happens to be tolush, and not the part that happens to be mechubel. Maybe the tor part.
Mechubel.
The other way around. Maybe the tame part, that tame part because it touched the nevela or the sheretz, even though. Not even though. Even though the tohar part did not become tameh because of the fact that it was mechubel karka, but nevertheless, maybe that should act as a yad to cause the other part to become tameh. Again, the nevela or the sheretz touched the part of the kishuin which is over the side. Over the side has the status of mechubel. In the nevela, and that's according to everybody. So the nevela sheretz touched that part. Will that part become tameh? Answer is no. Why? Because of mechubel karka. However, maybe you'll act as a yad to go and metame that portion which is inside the flower pot. Will that tohar part, which is mechubel, it can never become tame at this point until you cut it. At this point, it's mechubel karka. That certainly tohar can act as a yad to transmit the tumah to that part which is in the flower pot, that it should become tame. Take it. Third similar type of shayla. Rabbi Yermia. Hari Amra Mishtach Velechatzi Delas. Person owns a Delas. Delas, we said, is like a large pumpkin. So, what do? He says, this pumpkin is so beautiful, I want to go and leave it for Halloween. Not only that, half of it is so beautiful, he wants to make a pot out of it, and he's going to go and make that half of the pumpkin pot into the Avodah Zarah, and he's going to say, that right hand side, that is so beautiful, that is so nice, I hereby am koireu mishtachva to that half of the Delas, and I say, Delas, you're so holy, your highness, your holiness, your but only to one part of the Delas, not to the other side.
Why does it matter what he does? It's a whole zach, it's a whole thing. Why does it matter that he designates part of it?
The answer is,
once you cut it, it's too distinct. think
it didn't cut it.
We're at the cutting edge now, Rabbi Sam.
Didn't cut it. You have a whole thing. You're makdish an animal. You can't makdish a vital organ. The whole thing becomes hagdish. You're over.
That's a vital organ. Here we're talking even by behemoth. You only makdish the regular, the machoikis, and we hold that it's not. Only that part. Here, look at the Rashi, fourth line from the bottom. Hamishtach v'chatzid las osra b'hanoa mishmarei dezer.
Right.
But only that part, not the other part. Only that part, not the other part. Okay, so what difference does it make? Reb Shimon, he said, "Hanoa ein metamin tumas oichlin." Once it has a din of isra hanoa, there is no din of ochel. Because to be mekabel tumah, to have a tumah oichlin, you got to be oichlin, and you can't even use this. It's not only it's osu b'achil, it's osu b'anah. Lihiz b'yadchum u'man acherim. We're talking about avodah zarah. Then after the kaman, mikol oichel asher yochel, be'inat shati yochel achil acherim. And this the last is isur anoi. Sulam etamet tumah oichlin. Aha. Okay. So that half of the delas certainly cannot be mekabel tumah. It's a shtik tum, Rashi says.
Right, because it's avar zara.
Yeah, Rashi says on the bottom that's cross machtav yamur. That din of tuma is only midrabanan, not midrabanan. So that half of the delas now cannot be mekabel tumas oichlin because it's not an oichlin. What happens in the vela or a sheretz falls on it? Nothing happens. It's osir bano, it's not an oichel, it doesn't become tummy. The question is, can it act as a conductor to go and allow for the tumma to spread to the other side, which was not avodah zarah, the left hand side? So this side is going to remain tahar, quote unquote. It won't have the osir bano, it won't have a din of tumas oichlin, only tumah derabanan, says Rashi. But can it act as a conductor? Yeah, to make the second half. It's boy of Yirmiya, mahu, shiyasiyad chaberta. Again, take it. Next case. Again, a similar case. Omer apop, hari omru, yichashol te'ena, shenifshach, nifshach, umurbiklipasa. We had this expression already yesterday. Nifshach means that this yichur is a branch of a te'ena tree, of a fig tree. It was cut off, and now it's been detached. And there are a bunch of peiros attached to this yichashol te'ena, which fell off. However, even though he cut it, it's still a drop attached to that original tree. Still a drop attached, just like we had by the Avram Adulgal. This is all a shtickle attached. Aha. So what happens now? An avela or a sheretz falls on the tree. On the tree. The tree is mechubar. Is the tree going to become tamei?
No.
The answer is no. What happens if it's going to go and fall onto that yichur shel te'ena, which is 95% cut? It's only holding by the bark. The bark is what's holding it up. If Yehuda mitai, if Yehuda says it's attached, is attached, is attached, so it's part of the tree, and therefore mechubar can't become.
Don't say kosher royal elixir to cut his tummy. We don't say
according to Yehuda. The chamamayim in yachal lech yoi star. If this yichush can continue to sustain itself, then it's sarkus and mechubar. Vimlav, if it's just a question of time until it's going to fall off, then it's tummy. Aha. Is boira papa maushi yosi yad lechaveiroi? Can you go and be machshir the tree to cause the yad, not the yad, the yichush or te'ena, which is attached to it, to go and get a hilchos tumma or not? Again, the tree itself cannot be mekabel tumah because it's a mechubar. However, can it act as a yad for purposes of the yichur, which is attached to it, to go and transmit tumah through it as a conductor of tumah? So we have now the shaila of Papa, Beira Papa, Mashiach, Yad, Chaver, Teiku, four shailas, all of them of the same type of approach, where the thing which the tumah attached to or fell on was something which was an ochel intrinsically, you could eat from it. However, the reason why you can't eat it, because Chazal tells us, the Rabbi Yishlam says, you're not allowed to eat from it, because oichel sheyochel. What causes something to be edible as an ochel? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows you to eat it. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow you to eat it, then you can't eat it. Aha. So therefore, ask the Gemara, in all of these four cases, whether it would be a conductor of tumah to that part which is edible. In this case, yichashot ha'ina, which is cut off, it's no longer mechubar, or it is mechubar, yom mechubar, nish mechubar. Question is, can you go and have the tree act as a conductor? So Gemara teiku tishbi tatz. We're not finished yet, we have one more case. And that's going to be Metshem, not this week, Sedra, but in Parshas Metzayah. Omrim Zayr, Hari Omru, Eben Shebizavius, Kishu Choylet, Choylet, Seskola, Kishu Noitet, Noitet, Shaloyim, and Yechashol Chaveiroi. We know there's a din of Nigebatim. Nigebatim means you go into the house and you see on the wall nega yirakrak oy adamdom. And you say, oh, boy, this is terrible. There's a nega of a bias. What happens to the whole bias? So if it's the first week, what you have to do is you just go and cut out that portion. Just cut out those 3, 4, 5, 10 stones, remove them, and replace them with brand new stones. What happens, however, if after the second week the chaza, the nega, came back again? Now, not the sabayis, you have to go and destroy the whole house, the gam tzavant, the whole thing, bakal migakom. Okay, fine. What happened if the Eben Hapina, that's the yisod, that cornerstone, where they made a gam tzachanukah sabayis years ago, the Eben Hapina, that was a very wide, large stone, which acted as part of a wall for my house and part of the wall for my chaver, for my shochin, for my neighbor's house. My part of the house, unfortunately, there was nega on the wall, so I got to destroy the whole house. My shochin was a yid tzaddik; he doesn't have any negoyim on his walls, so he doesn't have to destroy his house. The problem is, what about this cornerstone, which is going from my house into his house? Now, we share a stone. So that part that comes into my house, I have to destroy, because of the fact that it's part of the bias hanega, the oil of negoy. What about my chavers? What does it have to do with him? Oh, since the stone which is attached, it's a big stone, my half of the stone is tamei, the tuma of nigibatim, maybe that acts as a yad to cause the other half of the stone of my shochin's half, that it also now gets the din of negibatim, even though there's no neg in his house, it's in my house. But maybe it conducts that tumah, so now it spreads to his house, and he has to also destroy his house as well. Take utishbi etaritz. We have to wait for Eliyahu Novi to answer all of these difficult questions as to the din of yad, the tumah under these four very...
Is it a question of yad? It's a question of yad in the case of the stone? Is it a question of, is it mitame his house? Is it mitame... are we still my hochas yad here? Or is this just a question?
Let's go down two-thirds of the Amud in the Rashi.
Yes.
You see it says, Umeniach eschelik chaveroi. You have that?
Yes.
Talk sivinot, this is a bias. Feloi shtei batim. You have to destroy my house, not his house. Mao shiyasa chelik hatohar bias yad lozeh lahachnes tomo lebeis chaveroi. Devin menugas metam v'oil. Kedach sivu haboil lebeis. So here do you say that it has the same din of a yad?
Okay.
Just like you had by the animals and the foods. Now you have a case of a yad by a stone. Yeah. Okay, we finished all of those wonderful pshatim. Back to the Mishnah, Mesa Behema. The Behema died. What does it say in our Mishnah? Zoktra Meir, it has now a din of Tumas Eva Menachai, but not Mishum Eva Nevela. Frank to the Gemara, my Ika Beit Eva Menachai, Eva Shum Nevela. Both are Mitanim. Was enough to Menachim. Ika Menachai Yibasar HaPoyrish Mimenu. What happens if you scoop out a kezayis of basar from either the Eiver Menachai, or from the Eiver of the Nevela? Basar poyrish mimenu me'Eiver behem. The ilu basar poyrish me'Eiver Menachai loy metami. Basar Menachai is not metami, only Eiver Menachai. Basar Menachai is not metami. The Eiver Menevela is metami, because it's a basar of a Nevela. It's a grace of nafkimina. So bottom line is, the nafkimina between the two will be taking and removing a kezayis, a basar, from that Eiver. If it has the status of Eiver Menachai, not metame. If it has the status of Eiver Nevela, it is metame. How do you even know? Maybe, I know you're not going to eat Eiver Menachai. How do you know that it's metame? If you know Menachai, it's in the posse. V'chiyomis min behema shehi lechem li ochla. So why did it say v'chiyomis min behema? It should say v'chiyomis behema. What's min behema? Min behema comes to tell you that sometimes you have a food item which is only part of the animal, not the ganze animal, only part. Which is that part? You have an Eiver Menachai, which is part of the animal. That part, the chiyomis mina behema, mixes of the hem has died because you've taken off this Eiver Menachai. We're not talking about Eiver Medul, we're talking about in general. You have an Eiver Menachai, you went and cut it off. It's now a dead limb, if you will. It's not a ganze behema, it's a chiyomis mina behema. Ashila mechachla, and then the pasuk continues on, and the game of loss, so yit mar becomes tamay. So you see that Eiver Menachai is matam. Frank,
so we have a concept of an ogev benivulasa from the Eiver Menachai. We have nevela from the Eiver Menachai. I'm just trying to get the subset.
Don't focus on the word nevlasa. Focus on the word v'chiyomis min ha-behema.
Right.
That if you have a chelik of the behema,
right,
that died. How did you die? Because you severed it before the behema was geshachten.
Right.
What's the din? person touches it, yitmar arvi becomes tamei. So you don't have to go and touch a total animal that died. You can touch a partial animal that died. How can you have a partial animal that died? That's a chiyamis menayim. Frank, but I use that for a different drush. Maybe boiling the kiyuch of Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. What did he say? The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. The Amar of the Masi Satana. Chiyamis ben a behema. Mixes behema metama. Mixes behema ain't a metama. Sometimes the behema is metama. Sometimes it's not. What do you mean? Veizu zu treifa shishchachta. What happens if you shechted an animal and then you were boiling in the simanim and all the rest, and you find that nebuch it was a treifa animal? There was a sirch in the lungs. It's treifa. Can you go and eat from the animal? But the shechita at least helps you. Oh, that's why it's a chiyomis min behema. Sometimes the behema negev min avlosa yitma da arab. Sometimes not. So if it died all on its own, it's metame. However, if it died as a result of the fact that it was a treifa and you shechted it and you cannot eat it, so even though in a sense it's like nevela, I'm not allowed to eat it, but it's not metame. How do I know? Chiyomis min behema, mixes behema metame. Oh, so I use this chiyomis min behema for another drasha, the gabi treifa. How can I use the gabi the dinner of eva min achai? Says he wants kindlich to rachmana. Mi behema, my mina behema, shema mina tarti from the extra nun. He could have just said mi behema. Says mina behema. So I learned on both drushes, both the gabi the din of treifa as well as the din the gabi eva min achai.
Also the hay, you have a hay there also, not just the nun.
Hay. Why don't you say the same thing should apply not only to the aver? After all, you said the chiyomis minabeim,
right,
a part of the animal. So, mima a piece of basim minachai.
Why is it exempt?
Anthony, one of the good guys decided to say the basim. Yochli he basar poish minachai. Tomei, I would think taka. The basar is matabi. Tamaloyim of chiyomis minabeim, ma misa she'ena oisa chalipin. Just like by misa, that there's no tchias amesim by this behema, there's no remedy, there's no way to cure the animal after it's dead. Of course, she'ena oisa chalipin. That only applies to the aver, the limb. Once it's severed, no new aver is going to grow on this animal. However, if you scoop out of the animal, agam tishtik basar. Okay, he's going to have a wound over there, a surgery. You put on a nice bandage on it, and it can go and grow back again.
So that meat that grows back is not going to be nevela, tame, etc. But the meat, the basar should be, the basar that you scooped out, that doesn't grow back, that doesn't patch in.
That's 100% true. But nevertheless, since the drush is not on the piece that fell out, chemes min abahema, the gabi, the behemoth's continued existence. If you're going to go and sever this eva menachai, this behemoth will never be able to. If the behemoth is going to lose this eva menachai that you sever, it's never going to grow back this limb.
Correct.
It's not going to go grow back a new foreleg or back leg. Right. It will grow back new basar. So this will continue to be a full fledged behemoth. It's not going to be a mixed man of behemoth. And therefore, this drasha only holds for something that makes it irreversible, irrevocable, that the behemoth is now longer this big behemoth. It's not only a mixed behemoth, but shenkin by the basar. It will remain a full fledged behemoth even without this basar, because it will grow back. Rabbi Kiva says, I have a different drasha. Rabbi Kiva oimer behema ma behema gira matzama. It's just like behema is full of so many sinews and so many bones. Afko gira matzama. The only thing that's matame is if you have a piece that has in it gira matzama. It's got to be just like the behema. Not Fektimar. Rabbi Oimer, I have another drasha. All that says behema. Ma behema basa gira matzama. Afko basa gira matzama. Now, it seems to us that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi are really saying the same thing. That Rabbi Kiva says it's like a behema, and therefore only by the aver, because it has gidin batzamos, just like
the
behema.
And only the basar becomes tame. The gidin batzamos don't become tame. They're like wood, we said earlier, right? Right? So.
Slow down. You're thinking of gidin nasha. We're talking about regular gidin. Regular gidin are edible. Since they are edible, they normally, if they are edible gidin.
Really? So regular gidin don't all have the status of wood? Okay. I'll qualify that, okay.
It's okay. Anyway. But the purpose of getting into this Gemara is we're trying to establish, is it only Eivim Menachai which is Matama, or also Basar Menachai is Matama?
Right.
According to Rabbi Yossi, Basar Menachai is not Matama because it's Ein Oisa Chalib, because it's Oisa Chalib, because it can regenerate in the body of the animal.
Right.
Therefore, Basar Menachai is not Matama. Rabbi Kiva says the reason why Basar Menachai is not Matama because it has to be Doima to Behem. Just like Behem is full of not only Basar, but also Yidim Batzam,
right?
The Eiver is also full of Yidim Batzam. Much ain't can't piece of bastard doesn't have Gidim Atzomis. Therefore, it's not Metame. Rebbe says it's got to be like Behema, just like Behema has all three, Basar, Gidim, and Atzomis. All to that's Metame is an Avid that has it in Basar, Gidim, Atzomis. Much ain't can if you're talking about Basar, which only has Basar, no Gidim Atzomis. Frank Timara, my Ike Ben Rebbe, and Kivante saying the same thing.
Right.
Ekebenayu arkuva. Arkuva means a joint in the foot of the animal. What was the machlokes? The arkuva,
the ankle or the knee?
Exactly. The upper arkuva, the lower arkuva. But for our purposes, we're talking about a joint that has no basar in it. Since it has no basar, it only has gidim batzamis. Would it be metamei? According to Rabbi Kiva, it only has to have gidim batzamis, and the arkuva, this joint, has gidim batzamis, even if it only has no basar. Mashenken, according to Rabbi, would not be metamei, because since there's no basar, it's got to be toy b'tamehman, basar, gidim batzamis.
Whole package.
Good. Frank Dimar Ben Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi, Aglida, Maya Kemenayu. The first Rabbi Yossi, it's missing Aglida. So if you notice, there's a vav after Rabbi Yossi, you have to add the word Rabbi Yossi Aglida. Anyway, so what did Rabbi Yossi Aglida say? Rabbi Yossi Aglida said it's based on Chalipa Nish Chalipa. And he says that's to do with Gidu Batzamis. Maya Kemenayu. Oh, my Rab, Papa. Cool, even if it's a sign, Maya Kemenayu. If you're talking about kidneys or you're talking about lips. What's the difference between the kidneys and the lips? The kidneys and the lips, everybody agrees, does not have in it gidim batzamis. It's just a piece of basar. So if it's not metame. However, kuyvenif svasayim, they cannot be regenerated. Since they cannot be regenerated, the kidney, once it dies, it doesn't regenerate. It's right. Something by the lips. Oh, so then according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, since it doesn't do chalipin, it's just like an aver, it is metame. According to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi, because of the fact that there are no kidim batzamis,
it's not metame.
And that's enough kumenikabit. So now we're going to have the exact same machloikis. This is going to be from here to the bottom of the Omid. It's going to be just a repeat performance. Until now we spoke about behemoths. Now we're going to talk about shrotzim. Tanami gabi shrotzim. Kai gabi. Yochel basar parishman at shrotzim. Yehei tamei. I would think if you have basar from a sheretz that has no gidim batzamis in it, and we're talking about basar from a leivedik sheretz. We don't mean a dead sheretz. Dead sheretz. Every part of the sheretz, of course, is metame. A leivedik sheretz. If basar min hachai from the shrotzim comes out, and you touch it, I would think you become tamei. Tamaloyim ben moisam. Bishtei the pussy ben moisam. Chalashipa love mehem ben moisam yitma, etc. Ben moisam. Ma misa sheno isa chalipa. I've called sheno isa chalipa. The Rabbi Yosef Glili. Oh, it's like a glili. Rabbi Kiva Oymer. It's got to be like a sheretz. My sheretz keeps about tamei. I've called Gilma Thomas. Rabbi Oymer gets a sheretz. My sheretz bossy Gilma Thomas. I've called him Gilma Thomas. So Kima ben Rabbi Kiva Ekim and I. What's an machloikis? An afkimin is arkufa. If you have a joint which has no boss, only Gilma Thomas. Ben Rabbi Kiva basically. Apparently, Shrotzim also have lawyers and okay. So, didn't we just repeat the whole thing?
Right.
You know why the basar minachai is not metame? Mishum doim metame bekadasha. The haim is much more chomor than a sheretz. To go to the metame, you have to have a kazayis. Therefore, since you have this chomor, you have to have a kazayis. It's not going to be metame mechai. The basar minachai. Ah, sheretz and metame kadash. It's so much
powerful,
easier,
so much more powerful,
so more powerful in its stomach. Even kadash is metame. Ema, I would think metame minachai. Even the basar minachai should also metame. We ask me to sheretz b'shem loy metame b'masa. The iser, not the iser, the tumah of sheretz is only b'maga, not b'masa. And therefore, the metame minachai. Ah, the ema the metame not only b'maga but also b'masa. Ema the metame minachai. So you have to have both seen him, in both cases, both the behemoth and the shrotzim, that it's not metame the basim in a chai. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.